I'm grateful, I'm thankful that you're here. I know this morning all of us have heavy hearts about something that's going on in our heart and life. And as we have begun a new series of sermons, starting last Sunday morning, life lessons that we learn from a king, life lessons that from a common shepherd boy out in the Judean hillside, but life experiences that changed the life of David to what he became, to what he was, to what he wanted others to be, what he wanted his own family members to be. And this morning, this is the second sermon in this series called Life Lessons that we learn from King David. This morning, I want to ask this question: what is true friendship? When you think about friends, when you think about friendship, what comes to your mind? How does friendship develop? How is friendship expressed? You see, God created us to be social creatures, and there is no doubt that so many people in the present world that you and I are living in are struggling with all kinds of issues in life because of isolationism. And because so many people have been down and so many people have not been able to be engaged in life as they have been, and we are finding out mentally, emotionally, psychologically, that it is having great impact not only upon adults, but young people and children as well. President Andrew Jackson, he didn't just love his mother Elizabeth, but Andrew Jackson revered his mother. In fact, in one of their last conversations, he said he would always remember because it would become the law of his life. His mother said to him in her final statements to him, she said, "In this world, Andrew, you will have to make your own way. And to do that, you must have friends." Andrew Jackson's mother certainly was right. Everyone needs friends, whether you are a general of an army, whether you are the king of a nation, whether you are the CEO of some great corporation out there, or even the president of the United States, or the king of some third world country or some nation out there. It's illustrated this morning as we look in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, we see this. It's one of the greatest pictures of friendship in all of the Old Testament. And there are millions and millions and millions of people all over the world this morning. They do not feel that they are fortunate enough that they've had a lifelong friend or have had a friend. And many of those people are dying day by day in quietness and solitude because of that. I think the song Down you sang a few moments ago illustrates that well. Whoever wrote that song obviously had a story, had a life experience behind those words, because it certainly seems to be such. In this sermon series, there are many, many life lessons that you and I will learn from a man named David who was after God's own heart because of a friendship. Perhaps without question, it's one of the greatest friendships not only in human history, but it's one of the greatest friendships ever discussed in all of the Bible. And it's the story of a friendship between David, who would become the king of the nation of Israel, along with the king who presently was serving, Saul, and Saul's son, Jonathan. Read with me, if you will, in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. After David had finished talking with Saul, Saul is the king now, the nation of Israel, Jonathan, and this is Saul's son, became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return to his father's house. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow and his belt. Jonathan, you see, was not just this king's son, but Jonathan would become one of the greatest friends in all the world that David had. David would become one of the greatest friends that he could be to Jonathan. And this friendship was an endearing friendship. It was a friendship that came about through divine intervention. There's an old saying that if you ever see a turtle on top of the fence post, it didn't get there by itself. Any of y'all ever heard that old saying? Well, I want you to know that is so true, because we realize that in dealings that we have with people out there, most of us need someone to help us in life. Now, we live in such a pride-filled world this morning that many of us are too proud to concede to the fact that we need people in our lives. And the world is certainly looking this morning. It's longing. It's searching. When I read in the Bible that creation groans for the day of redemption, even the creation, even the animal life of this world is groaning for a time of redemption. There are two things that are true of every human being on this planet. We all need the right kind of friends, and we all need to be the right kind of friend to someone out there. Friends and acquaintances this morning are so vitally important in our world. This morning, I want us to look at this great friendship together. I want us to learn something this morning that we can take and apply to our own lives, that we can pass on down to children, to grandchildren, because there are three great choices in life that everyone has to make. Number one is, which God am I going to serve? That is a great question this morning in the world that you and I live in. And many people have chosen to serve a God other than the God of David and Jonathan in this story this morning. There's a second question everyone has to ask. Not only which God am I going to serve, but which person will I marry in life? And then thirdly, who are going to be my best friends? Who are going to be my true friends? Now, there are thousands and thousands of people who have thousands of acquaintances. Many of you have many friends that follow you on Facebook and Twitter and all of those various things that are out there in the world to keep people up with. But let me tell you, even among your Facebook friends, how many are truly a friend that you could call at 3 o'clock in the morning and they would be there for you regardless? Folks, I want you to know, whenever we look at acquaintances versus friendships, there is a great, vast difference in those two. So this morning, I want to give you three things. You'll find them there in your bulletin. But number one, best friends give selfless love. In 1 Samuel 18, verse 1, it tells you pretty much all that we need to know here, that David and Jonathan had become best friends. After David had finished talking here with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit, the Bible says, with David, and he loved him as himself. Now, the New International Version of the Bible, the NIV, doesn't capture either the letter or the spirit of the verse of really how strong it really is. And so I want to read from the English Standard Version. It's the one there in the back of your pew. The ESV says it this way: as soon as he finished speaking to Saul, that's David, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. That word knit there, K-N-I-T, if you study that word, it literally means to be chained. And it literally says that the soul of Jonathan was chained to the soul of David. In other words, they weren't just friends. They would be what you would call soul brothers or soulmates. Jonathan had the highest love for David that one person could have, because Scripture says he loved him as his own soul. Now, what on earth does that mean, that he loved him as his own soul? Jonathan, King Saul's son, loved David as much as Jonathan loved Jonathan himself. Do you remember what Jesus said is the second greatest commandment of all? He said to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, many people have a tendency to love themselves more than they love anyone else. In fact, it was said of Napoleon. Napoleon, the great conqueror in the world, Napoleon, it was said of he and his wife that they had one thing in common. They both loved Napoleon. Now I want you to think about that this morning. It was said of Napoleon and his wife, they had one thing in common. They both loved Napoleon. And so Scripture tells us here that Jonathan loved David as much as he loved himself. In fact, Jonathan actually loved David more than he loved himself. How do we know that? Because Jonathan was the oldest son of Saul. And Saul was the king of the nation of Israel. And Jonathan, by birthright, would have been promised to be the heir to the royal throne one of these days. Let me tell you, kingly power would have been his. But Jonathan knew, Jonathan understood something by faith. Jonathan understood by divine intervention that God had this unknown shepherd boy that would fulfill the duties that he normally would have fulfilled. If you'll notice in verse 4 of our text for this morning, of 1 Samuel 18, Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing, and he gave it to David along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. You see, Jonathan gave David his own robe, which was a symbol of his future role as the king of the nation of Israel. He gave him his sword, he gave him his bow, and those symbolized that he would have been the commander in the chief of the nation of Israel. He even gave David his belt, which was the chief ornament of a soldier that was worn by one in royalty, by one who was in line to be the king of the nation. In other words, everything that rightfully and legally belonged to Jonathan, Jonathan gave away to David later. In fact, later, at moments in David's life when he was under the gun, when there was a hit squad after his life because Saul hated David so much, listen to what happened. Jonathan said in 1 Samuel 20 verse 4, Jonathan said to David, "Whatever you want me to do, I'll do for you." You see, Jonathan realized that his father Saul was incessantly jealous and had hatred in his heart for David, his friend. He realized there were murderous thoughts in Saul's heart and life. And Jonathan was willing to risk his own life. He was willing to risk everything that he could in order to reach out and to help this friend that he loved so much. Let me tell you, their friendship was a friendship of selfless love. They each saw incredible faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They each saw an incredible faith that moved them and moved within their hearts that they were so knit together. And Jonathan made David a part of his family by selfless love. Let me ask you a question this morning. There's all kinds of love in the world. We hear that old song, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love." And there's all kinds of love. There's physical love, emotional love, psychological love. There's sexual love. There is phileo love, of a brotherly love. But let me tell you, genuine, true love, heartfelt friendship came from these two. No doubt Jonathan had watched. Jonathan had observed as David came up against Goliath fearlessly, because he realized that Goliath, the Philistine, had cursed the nation of Israel. He had cursed their God. And David was just of the matter that he had faith in Almighty God to know that God was not going to let this pass, and that God would use him to step forward, because God is far bigger than any other problem that we have out there in life. And as Jonathan observed David's life and his faith in Almighty God, David observed also in the life of Jonathan how that God was with him and helped him in some of those battle skirmishes among the Philistines. Well, best friends give selfless love. I want to ask you a question. I want you to think with me this morning about your friends. I want you to just in your mind run through the catalog of your friends that is a friend to you, regardless of what is going on in your life, regardless of where you may have failed miserably in life. I want you to really think this morning, who is your true blue friends in life? Who's someone that you could confide in? Who's someone that you could tell anything about your life and never worry that they would try to destroy you or try to use that against you in any way? Let me tell you, most people, when they go through the catalog of friends in their life, will find very, very, very few. There are lots of acquaintances, lots of people you come in contact with, lots of people that you know. But whenever you truly, genuinely are down and out, who are the friends that will truly be there to pick you up, to lift you up? Let me tell you, it was a selfless love. It was a divine intervention of God working in the life of David and working in the life of Jonathan. And God would use Jonathan, because in those moments when David would run for his life out of fear because of Saul, it would be God that would work through David's friend Jonathan in order to warn him about his father's servants that were coming against him. And so we see that best friends give selfless love. But secondly, best friends give steadfast loyalty. Best friends give steadfast loyalty. Love is the foundation of any real friendship, but loyalty is the glue that holds that together. Let me tell you, it's disloyalty that separates true friends from false friends. We need to understand that Jonathan's friendship with David, it was a costly friendship. His friendship with David wasn't easy. In fact, it was complicated, because his father, King Saul, was after David. And David feared him, and he felt threatened. And he also, Saul felt threatened by David as well. And as you will see later on in David's life story, through no fault of David's, Saul became the greatest enemy. In fact, his number one obsession was none other than to see David dead. For Jonathan to be David's friend, it risked not only losing his father's favor, but it would sacrifice his own royal future to someday take his father's place. But even though Jonathan would never be king, he had the heart of a king. He had what I would call the royalty of loyalty to his friend David. This is illustrated in the next chapter. Saul had become so obsessed with killing David that he was willing to talk about it publicly, and he didn't really care who knew about it. He even orders Jonathan and all of his servants, Saul does, to go out and to have an assassination squad against David. In fact, in 1 Samuel 19, verse 1, Saul told his son Jonathan, all the attendants, he told them to kill David. Can you only imagine, as David was on the run for his life, Jonathan not only warned David to go into hiding, but Jonathan went before his own father and took up David's defense. In fact, in 1 Samuel 19 and verse 4, we find these words. Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, "Let not the king do wrong to his servant David. He has not wronged you, and what he has done has benefited you greatly." You see, that's the true mark of a friend. You talk about steadfast loyalty. Let me tell you, a true friend like that will have your back. And let me tell you, a true friend like that will stick up for you at all corners of life. David's son, who would be Solomon, and he would become also the king of the nation of Israel. Let me tell you, he said in Proverbs 17, verse 17, Solomon said, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Let me tell you, you don't really find out who your friends are until you see that your great need needs those friends. And a lot of times people will come and people will go and people pass in and out of people's lives and in and out of the doors of their lives. You really find out who friends are in the times that you need the most. I read the other day about a farmer that walked into a bank and he sat down with the banker and he looked over at the banker and he said, "Pete, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. Which do you want me to tell you first?" And so the banker looked at John and said, "Well, give me the bad news first so we can get that behind us." And the farmer said, "Okay, you know, we've had a bad drought. My crops didn't come in, and I'm not going to be able to pay the mortgage this year at all." And the banker said, "Well, that's pretty bad." The farmer said, "Well, it gets worse. I'm not going to be able to make payments on those loans for the machinery that I bought." And so the banker said, "Well, that's really, really bad." And the farmer said, "Hey, it gets even worse than that. I'm not going to be able to make any of the payments on the loans that I have." And the banker said, "Good grief. How much worse can it get?" And the farmer says, "Well, it still gets worse. All the money that I borrowed to buy seed and to buy fertilizer for all of my winter supplies, I can't pay anything on these notes." And the banker said, "I've had all of this bad news that I want to hear." He said, "What's the good news?" The old boy looked at his banker and he said, "Well, the good news is I'm going to still do business with you." Well, that's where a lot of people are today. "I'm going to still do business with you." Best friends give you steadfast loyalty. They will walk into your house when the whole world walks away. There's an old saying country people had that went like this: when your last dog dies, I will still be sitting on your front porch. Let me tell you, that's the kind of friendship that God used in the life of David and Jonathan to encourage them, to strengthen them, to help them through the days of their life. Let me tell you, best friends give selfless love. Secondly, best friends give steadfast loyalty. And thirdly and lastly for this morning, best friends give spiritual leadership. When you look at the life of David and you look at the life of Jonathan and you wonder what it was that really brought them together, no doubt as David fearlessly stood before the giant, no doubt Jonathan had seen that escapade take place. No doubt as he saw the incredible trust that David had in Almighty God, no wonder David had a heart for God. Last Sunday morning, we looked at that, a man after God's own heart, and how that even though David failed many times in his life, he failed miserably as a father in his life. He let a lot of things slide that should never have slidden with his family. David would regret those. There would be things that David would have to live over and over and over in his heart and in his mind. There were times that he failed in other endeavors and through his marriage and all of those kinds of things that become great challenges to us in this life. But everybody looked at David's life and they saw within him something that was certainly out of the sovereignty of Almighty God. And they saw the divine intervention and they saw his incredible faith and his trust in God. In fact, in 1 Samuel 14, verse 6, Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." And it was there that David slew Goliath. And it would be there, out of that, that people would see the fearlessness that David had when he stood in the power and the strength and the might of the Lord. Let me tell you, in this spiritual leadership, David stepped up to the plate. I'm sure there were times he was tired. I'm sure there were times in his life that he was weary. I'm sure there were times in his life that he wanted to give up, throw in the towel, so to speak. But let me tell you, he kept on with a perseverance because his faith, his trust was in none other than the God that he had seen with him during the days that he killed the lion when it was coming after the sheep out there on the Judean hillside. It was there with him when he killed the bear. It was there with him. God's strength and his power was with him as he killed that great giant. And as Jonathan was also a person who loved the heart of God, it would be Jonathan and David that would strengthen each other. They would lift each other up. They would build each other up. And through that incredible friendship, life became better for each of them. Let me tell you, Jonathan gave David his robe. That robe would eventually be eaten by moths, and it would eventually decay and be destroyed. But I want you to know this morning, Jesus can give you a robe of righteousness. Jesus is a never-failing friend. Jesus is always there. Sometimes we have to look hard to find him because we are so overcome with what's going on with each of us. But as the songwriter put it well, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He is the one who hears and answers prayer. Let me tell you, Jesus can give you a robe of righteousness that will last forever. He's the King who died to give us living hope. And as we think about the first week of April becoming Easter Sunday morning that we celebrate, I want you to know, because of the resurrection, you and I can face each tomorrow with strength and courage and hope and help and trust to know that there is a living Savior. And someday you and I will live in the presence of that never-failing friend who selflessly gave his love so that you and I might have eternal life. He is a friend that never fails. I love to hear Carla Flanagan sing that song. He's more than a friend to me. This morning, wherever you are in your life, whatever is taking place in your life, whatever is clouding your mind, whatever is challenging you this morning, I know this: Jesus is a tried and a true friend. He has not forsaken you. He has not forgotten you. He will be a present help to you in times of trouble. There are many, many people I've heard through the years say, "Oh, if I just had a friend. If I just had a friend." Let me tell you, Jesus is that friend. I read the other day about a man that called the wrong number. But he couldn't help but laugh when he got the following response on the recorder. It said, "I'm not available right now, but I thank you for caring enough to call. I'm making some changes in my life, so please leave a message after the beep, and if I don't return your call, then you're one of those changes." You're one of those changes. Let me tell you what, there's a lot of people this morning. They're looking for a call, amen? They're looking for that friend like Jonathan and David had. Let me tell you what, you may search the world over and you may not ever have that kind of friendship. You may never have that kind of trust and faith in each other. But there is one that you can always count on, and his name is Jesus. Would you stand as we pray together? Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the privilege we have to come together today. God, thank you for the life lessons of a king. Thank you for the life lessons of friendship. Father, I pray this morning that you would help each one of us, that we would search through our hearts and lives. Father, that we would know who we truly have as friends. I pray that somewhere in the midst of, Father, all that people are struggling with, all that people are challenged with this morning, oh God, give them grace and strength and peace and help and hope and comfort, Father, to reach up each day and to hold on to your strength. Father, thank you for the trust. Thank you for the faith that we have in the living one. For were it not for the resurrected Christ, we would not be here this morning. If it were not for the hope of heaven, oh God, we would have no hope whatsoever. Thank you that you are the never failing friend. Father, help us, oh God, that we would be that kind of friend to others as David and Jonathan had with each other. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.